Members, yes, welcome. We're going to allow a minute or two for minerals to come, but if they don't hear, we're going to start. So we'll just allow 2 or 3 minutes. Thank you.
Oh, Chair, if I may, I had consulted with my counterparts on the Minerals Committee. It seems the message they got was that the starting time was 9:30. So maybe if the secretariats can just get in touch with their counterparts on the Minerals Committee to kind of hurry them along, because I think they've got a 30-minute difference in the expectation of starting time.
Yeah, that's noted, but I mean the Z list this whole week indicated 9 o'clock. The Z list is available on website and on the hard copy, and that's the official document of Parliament. But I mean, we will ask the Secretary just to facilitate that quickly. Thank you.
Thank you.
Right, good morning, members. Welcome to the joint meeting of the Portfolio Committee on Police and Mineral Energy. The Chair of Mineral Energy will be with us shortly, but I think we must meanwhile just start with the proceedings. I'll maybe first ask the delegation from Mineral Energy to introduce themselves. Thank you. The Department of Mineral Energy.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. My name is Mthokozi Sizondi, and I'm Deputy Chief Inspector of Mines from the Department of Mineral Resources.
Morning. My name is Fanuel Nkuna. I'm the Acting Chief Director for Technical Support Unit.
Morning, honorable members, colleagues.
I'm Mabogo Rudzane from DMR.
Good morning, Chair, members of Parliament, and colleagues. My name is Solih Hasmedi, Head of Office of the Deputy Minister, Mineral Resources. Thank you.
Good morning, Honorable Chair. My name is Thabo Mokoena. I am the Director General of the Department of Mineral Resources. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Then we will ask General Matakata of DPCI to introduce her team. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable members, good morning. I'm Lieutenant General Matakata, the Acting Head of the DPCI. I am with Major General Idwaba, who is the Head of Organized Crime Investigations. I was with Brigadier Kadwa from Organized Crime, Brigadier Mlawuti, Brigadier Matthews, and also Brigadier Stein with us from the police.
Thank you very much. We will at this stage also ask the members to introduce themselves. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Leonard Ramatlakane, member of the committee.
Goeiemôre, dames en heren. My naam is Angie Moliwazi. Ek is al lid van die politie portfolio. Dankie.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, Sanbonani. My name is Zakele Mbele, member of the police committee.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Philip Mshongo, the member of the committee.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Mahlubanzi Machafta, a member of the Portfolio Committee on Mineral Resources.
Thank you very much. Maybe just we will also ask, of course, the Joint Chair to make some input, but maybe at the beginning just indicate some time ago there was a request from the Chairperson of the Mineral Energy Committee that we have a joint meeting between us, the two committees with relation to the issue of illegal mining. Now, illegal mining is a complex issue which necessitates cooperation of various stakeholders, including government, unions and the mining industry, to address the challenges associated with the practice in South Africa. Now, illegal mining has been identified as a national threat and a national intelligence priority. Now, it's addressed through a multi-agency team known as the Multi-Agency National Coordinating for Strategic Management Team, and we'll hear about that later, and the team is led by DPCI. So it's an important interaction we have, and of course we will also then give an opportunity as soon as the Chair arrives to deal with that. But I think let us utilize the time effectively, and we will ask then the Head of DPCI to continue with the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Brigadier Kado will take us through the presentation. Thank you.
Honorable Chairperson, honorable members of the portfolio committees on mineral resources and the police, good morning. Molweni, goeiemôre. Thank you very much for the opportunity to make this presentation. The scope of this presentation will cover the issues that are reflected as listed. The main purpose of this presentation is to appraise the joint sitting of the Portfolio Committees on Police and Mineral Resources on the overview of the illicit mining landscape impacting South Africa and our collaborative operational responses in curbing this scourge. In respect of the background, the illicit mining project stems from the 2009-2010 National Intelligence Estimate, which identified the illicit economy as a threat and a national intelligence priority. Therefore, illicit mining as an integral part of the illicit economy was included in the National Intelligence Estimate following a presentation by the then Minister of Minerals in August 2009 to the JCPS Committee and the subsequent scoping process undertaken by Director General's Technical Committee and the National Intelligence Coordinating Committee as instructed by the Interministerial Security Committee. Following the Interministerial Security Committee directive in March 2010, the Multi-Agency National Coordination and Strategic Management Team, or as it is better known as the NCSMT, was established on the 24th of June 2010, comprising of the following departments: the Department of Mineral Resources, NICOC, the South African Police Service with the operational divisions, the Directorate for Priority Crime Investigation, Crime Intelligence, Visible Policing, and the Forensic Science Laboratory, as well as Operational Response Services, the Financial Intelligence Center, State Security Agency, the South African Revenue Service, the South African Diamond and Precious Metals Regulator, the South African National Defense Force, the Department of International Relations and Cooperations, the National Prosecuting Authority, the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development, Department of Home Affairs, as well as the Mine Standing Committee on Security. In terms of the project coordination and governance, the NCSMT is led by the Directorate for Priority Crime Investigation and coordinated by NICOC, while the Department of Mineral Resources chairs the Free State, Gauteng, Mpumalanga and Northern Cape stakeholder forums to address challenges at the mines as well as at community level. The National Coordination and Strategic Management Team has a strategic plan that comprehensively covers the period 2014 to 2019 with three strategic objectives, namely to coordinate and consolidate government's efforts in combating illegal mining and the illicit trade of precious metals and diamonds in partnership with the private sector, regional and international cooperation to address the transnational organized crime dimensions in respect of the illicit trade in precious metals and diamonds, and finally, to mitigate illegal mining and the illicit trade of precious metals and diamonds across the value chain to detect, prevent, combat, investigate, prosecute, as well as looking at training and capacity building issues. In respect of our governance structure, the NCSMT coordinates all efforts targeted at combating the scourge of illegal mining and all related matters. It interfaces with the JCPS structures, such as the net joints, at a national level and reports to the JCPS DG's cluster. Provincial forums, such as the Provincial Operation Committees, interface with the prof joints. Furthermore, interface with the private sector takes place through the Mining Standing Committee on Security, which is also represented in the NCSMT. The NCSMT has subcommittees which focus on various aspects such as intelligence, legislative review, and the international strategy. In terms of the scope and impact of illicit mining, the scoping process established that illegal mining has interlinkages with other forms of organized crime and impacts on various sectors. It is linked to human smuggling and trafficking, as 70% of arrested illegal miners are illegal immigrants from mainly neighboring countries. These include minor children, women are also smuggled underground for prostitution purposes. It is also linked to illegal weapons and explosives, as illegal miners are themselves arm themselves, steal explosives from the mines and use them to booby trap certain areas underground. There is a likelihood that similar explosives are utilized in ATM bombings. The level of violence among illegal miners manifests in fatal shootings of mine employees, turf wars, and armed robberies. The impact on the environment is evidenced by the contamination of water sources through the use of mercury and the targeting of rehabilitated mines. The smuggling of food and supplies to illegal miners creates an illicit network involving corrupt mine employees and unregistered businesses which contribute to the illicit economy. The trafficking of precious metals also involves the misrepresentation at customs, presenting falsified documents, as well as being involved in tax evasion. The laundering of proceeds of precious metal smuggling through the informal banking systems also takes place, thus it could potentially be utilized for terror financing. What is the impact on the national security? In view of these trends, the impact of illegal mining can be summarized as follows. In terms of infrastructure, this manifests in the theft of copper and other scrap metals from both operational and derelict mines. The diversion of water meant for residential use negatively impacts on the provision of water as affected communities, thus impacting on social stability. Illegal immigration, indicated by the large-scale involvement of illegal foreign nationals in illegal mining activities, who are also creating no-go areas underground and on surface in their quest to monopolize that illegal mining space, is a threat to our territorial integrity. The culture of impunity with which illegal miners operate, their control of areas such as Blaifur Eidzig, where they shoot at police, as well as pervasive corruption, is evident within the criminal justice system, results in the authority of the state being undermined. Our economic security is impacted through the fleecing of precious metals, a natural resource which contributes significantly to the gross domestic product, which in turn is also impacted by the revenue losses. Illegal mining, as part of the illicit economy, contributes to the growth of a parallel economy. The violent crime perpetrated by illegal miners is negatively impacting on the fight against violent crime within communities. The interference with mining infrastructure impacts on the safety within the operational mines in particular, could result in mining accidents, temporary closure of the affected shafts, and a loss of revenue. A further strategic threat is corruption, which continues to pose a threat to good governance and the rule of law in particular. Corruption undermines the Republic's international image and reputation. It undermines investor confidence and also discourages foreign investments. The illicit value chain, our investigations into this phenomenon indicates that organized crime groups involved in precious metal-related crimes are organized into five identifiable, complex, and interlinked levels of criminal activity, ranging from level one, which involves individual criminal miners. Level two is the local gang bosses. Level three is the buyers of stolen precious metals. Level 4 is front company exporters based in South Africa and in some Southern African development country, community countries, as well as the final level, international refiners and intermediary companies. In terms of the situational analysis, key developments and trends discussed and assessed by the NCSMT are as follows. The threat posed by illicit mining and related crimes continues to proliferate across the country. Illegal mining activities persist in Gauteng, Mpumalanga, Free State, and the Northern Cape. Similar activities have also been detected in KwaZulu-Natal and recently the illegal mining of chrome in the Limpopo province. The majority of illegal mining incidents were recorded in gold mines, particularly the Harmony gold mines in the Free State and Sibanya gold mines in Gauteng. Front companies are colluding with crime syndicates to clean illicit gold and stolen products for export purposes. It is at this stage that stolen high-grade material is mixed with low-grade material to conceal its nature and source. The weakening of the rand from December 2015 to April 2016 generates concerns around emerging market growth and a possible credit rating downgrade to sub-investment grade. This has seen the gold price increase by 20% over a short time to 600,000 rand per kilogram. The effect of this sharp rise was an increase in the illicit market value of a gram of gold to about 420 rand per gram, thus increasing incentives for illegal miners and organized crime networks. Illicit mining is mainly supported by an elaborate illicit mining system that includes human trafficking, human smuggling, food supply chain networks, money laundering, and illegal firearms. The illicit supply of food to underground illegal miners in the Free State has increased with a number of residential properties procured and solely used for packaging and storage of food parcels destined for illegal miners underground. Information also indicates that some community members are employed to package the food parcels. Owing to high unemployment rates in some of the affected areas, this illicit activity appeals to most unemployed people. The increased targeting of and incursions into operational mines also persist and are largely prevalent in the Free State Harmony gold mines. As a countermeasure, the mine has initiated a process of rehabilitating and closing down derelict shafts. While this has managed to significantly stem the supply of food to illegal miners, closures have not prevented access to the mines due to the mine architecture characterized by interlinked shafts. The interlinked shafts running between the east and west rands of Gauteng have also limited the impact of rehabilitation efforts in the province. These interlinkages, coupled with the mining of supporting pillars by illegal miners, could negatively impact on road infrastructure in particular, as it could result in the development of sinkholes and the collapse of roads. The extent of illegal mining activities within operational mines gleaned from the data supplied by the Mining Standing Committee on Security indicates the persistence of these activities, including incidents of theft or possession of copper, theft or possession of gold-bearing material and platinum group metals, and the contravention of the Explosives Act. During the period under review from 2016-2017, the mines recorded 543 incidents of copper cable theft possession, 551 of underground illegal mining, 360 incidents of theft or possession of gold-bearing material, 191 of surface mining, as well as 71 explosive-related incidents. Incidents recorded by the platinum mines indicate 574 incidents of copper theft or possession, 99 of theft of PGMs, and 6 explosive-related incidents. The gold mines recorded an estimated loss totaling 5,965,000, while platinum mines recorded 5,451,000 worth of losses, mainly through the theft of copper. The platinum mines also recorded a loss of 684,971 rand due to the theft of PGM. Illegal migration continues to exacerbate the scourge of illicit mining. Attacks on mine security and police officials persist with continuous incursions into operational mines by illegal miners. While it is noted that the level of gang rivalry was high during 2015, it has subsided in 2016. In respect of chrome, during 2016, the illegal mining of chrome emerged in the Limpopo area. The mining of chromium reserves in South Africa is relatively easy. It is done on surface. The area between Atok and steel port in Limpopo is one of the richest chrome reefs in the world. The mining is conducted by local unemployed youngsters and old ladies in most instances. The women and children are working in harsh conditions without the correct tools, mainly using their bare hands to separate the chrome from other stones. Now we will look at the geographical prevalence. In Gauteng, illegal mining activities persist on the east and west rand of Gauteng and were mostly prevalent at Grootvlei Gold Mine, Anglo Gold Ashanti, Sibania and Kusalasetu Gold Mine, as well as in the Roodepoort, Benoni and Florida areas. In KwaZulu-Natal, trends observed indicate the proliferation of illegal mining activities in KwaZulu-Natal, particularly at the Klipwal Gold Mine near the Pongola area. In the Northern Cape, illegal diamond mining activities persist and are prevalent in different parts of the province, including the De Beers, Tweeput, De Beers, there's quite a few areas I'm not going to sing. In Mpumalanga, illegal mining activities persist. It is of serious concern as incursions by illegal miners into Barberton mines through old adits, despite regular patrols and the rehabilitation and closing of these adits. Similar to the Gauteng province, the significant number of derelict mines also render the province vulnerable to exploitation by illegal miners. Now we will focus on the interventions to mitigate this threat. The operational interventions target the entire value chain by the various agencies involved in this initiative. These interventions include compliance audits and inspections of license holders and Kruger Rand dealers by the South African Diamond and Precious Metals Regulator, as well as the Financial Intelligence Center. Visible policing, which is critical for the deterrence of surface mining activities in particular, conducts regular visits to problem areas and conducts disruptive operations at derelict mines and hostels. These are also undertaken by mine security, who are a very important force multiplier. The prevention of organized crime legislation is extensively utilized to address levels 2 to 5 of the value chain, and investigations by SARS and the Financial Intelligence Center, which also targets level 2 to 5 in terms of their revenue streams. Mutual legal assistance was conducted to acquire evidence in high-profile transnational cases with various countries. Now we will focus on the strategic interventions as they form part of the multifaceted approach the NCSMT has undertaken at a strategic level to ensure long-term impact in addressing illegal mining, the transnational trafficking of precious metals. The strategic interventions undertaken include the establishment of a legislative subcommittee led by the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development and the South African Police Services Legal Services to drive the legislative review process, with the objective of consolidating and strengthening capacity of state to effectively curb illegal mining and the subsequent trafficking in stolen precious metals through the application of existing legislation, the strengthening of regulations, the development of standard operating procedures for investigators and prosecutors, and amendments of some legislation if necessary. In terms of the regional strategy, engagements with the Southern African Development Community partners through the Department of International Relations and Cooperation and the State Security Agency. We also have a project for the fingerprinting of precious metals, as it is critical for the identification of origin and source of stolen precious metals. We have undertaken inspection visits for limiting explosive theft and training and capacity building for officials at ports of entry and the borderline. The visible policing is currently engaged in drafting directives for police stations on how to deal with illegal mining cases. They have also distributed posters and pamphlets at police stations. The pamphlets include guides on charges to be brought against illegal miners and also to assist the public as well as police officers working in the front line to identify precious metals. Awareness campaigns has also been conducted by the various role players. In terms of the international strategy, in the absence of an international regulatory framework, South Africa has partnered with the Russian Federation in tabling a resolution at the Commission for Crime Prevention and Criminal Justice in 2013. The resolution was passed mandating the United Nations Interregional Crime and Justice Research Institute to conduct a global study to ascertain the links between transnational organized crime and the trafficking in precious metals. The study was funded by the government of South Africa. The first phase of the study has been completed and findings were tabled at the 25th session of the United Nations Commission on Crime Prevention and Criminal Justice held from the 23rd to the 27th of May 2016 in Vienna, Austria. Public-private partnerships are very key in addressing this threat. The private sector is involved in all provincial and national structures established to deal with this threat. The role of the private sector is critical, and in South Africa, their participation culminated into the enhanced coordination of efforts within the sector to improve security within respective mines, thus securing the precious metal supply chain. For example, the private sector, sponsored by the Rand Refinery, embarked on a process of securing the supply chain by amending its regulations to help implement measures to ensure that the origin of all gold received by the refinery, there is due diligence done on that. Now you look at the operational performance from 2014 to 2017. So for 2013-2014, there were 81 disruptive operations and 968 arrests. In 2014-2015, there were 45 disruptive operations with 743 arrests. In 2015-2016, 60 disruptive operations with 1,830 arrests. And in 2016-2017, 114 with 210 arrests. In terms of the seizures, I think we can go past that one. Otherwise, we'll be going into long amounts. I never did mathematics, you know. Okay, in terms of operational statistics, a total of 113 disruptive operations were conducted, thus exceeding the target of 48 operations. These operations resulted in the total arrest allocated to the DPCI. 210 level 1 illegal miners were arrested. An additional 18 level 2 to 4 syndicate members were arrested, including smugglers, were arrested during the period under review. Furthermore, operations targeting all levels resulted in the seizure of precious metals, platinum group metals, and diamonds. Gold, including unwrought gold to the value of 61 million rands, rough diamonds worth 272,000 rand, and platinum worth 1,601,000 rand, was seized during the 2016-2017 financial year. Now we will turn to our operational delights, the projects that were undertaken by the Directorate for Priority Crime Investigations that were looking at the higher level criminal groups. So we're basically going to just quickly highlight some of the projects that we have undertaken in the last few years. So the first one is Project Masimong. During August 2012, an intelligence-led operation was launched targeting illegal mining activities at Masimong in conjunction with the Harmony Mine, the NPA, as well as the DPCI. During April 2014, a takedown operation was conducted, culminating in the arrest of 22 illegal miners for the theft of gold estimated to the value of 120 million rand. On the 20th of February 2017, all 22 accused were found guilty on a total of 577 charges relating to the on various charges in the poker, from racketeering to money laundering, and certainly they were very heftily sentenced. This is a landmark moment in the fight against illegal mining in the country. The project further illustrates the typical lifespan of major projects from initiation stage until finalization in court can range in duration of between 3 and 5 years. Project Tarantula, this was a precious metals operation targeting a criminal enterprise that was defrauding the South African Revenue Service for VAT and was also involved in large-scale theft and trafficking of precious metals. This syndicate also hired a cash-in-transit company to convey the stolen gold from a certain neighboring country. During December 2014, a consignment of unwrought gold estimated at 17 million rand originating from a neighboring country was intercepted. Here you can see visuals of the types of seizures we made in Project Tarantula. Project Darling was launched to address the illicit diamond trade. Prominent role players in the diamond industry were arrested. Racketeering prosecution are ongoing in the Kimberley High Court, and significant successes in asset forfeiture of approximately 58 million rand has already been paid into the CARA account. Now, specifically looking at initiatives over the last few years targeting corruption and complicity, Project Spock was launched in the Free State against SEPS members that were suspected of misusing their powers and supplying information to illegal mining syndicates. In February 2015, a takedown operation was executed, resulting in the arrest of 3 civilians, 1 Hawks member, 1 detective, and 22 Vispol members. 3 of the SEPS members were sentenced to 15 years imprisonment, and another SEPS member given 5 years imprisonment. All the police members have subsequently been dismissed during a disciplinary proceeding. Recently, the DPCI in the Northwest received information regarding the collusion between security officers and a group of illegal miners that were operating in Kusasalethu gold mine in Carletonville. The illegal miners recruited the security officers to warn them of any operation and to provide them safe passage. The security officers paid on each occasion 15,000 rand or amalgam to that value for every tip-off. An undercover operation was launched to address this illicit mining network. An undercover agent was infiltrated, court-directed evidence was generated, and on the 5th of July 2017, a takedown operation was conducted by DPCI Northwest in conjunction with our Hawks office in Gauteng and Harmony Mining Company, culminating in the arrest of 1 security official and 6 illegal miners on several charges of corruption, theft, as well as the dealing and possession of unwrought gold. All suspects have appeared in the Carletonville court and were remanded in custody pending a formal bail hearing. I'm just sharing other more organized illicit mining case studies. So during August 2015, the DPCI Northwest Province executed a search warrant at a warehouse premises in Potchefstroom, resulted in the discovery of approximately 630 tons of gold-bearing material valued at 7 million rand. Forensic gold fingerprinting analysis determined the origin to Grootvlei mine in Springs. This shows the interprovincial and transnational linkages. This company was responsible for the demolition of the mine, and during this process, it fleeced this gold-bearing material. 3 accused are currently standing trial in the Potchefstroom Regional Court. A preservation of property order was granted for assets to the tune of 4 million rand associated with these syndicates, as well as a seized GBM to the value of approximately 7 million rand. Now you can see the food supply networks, the way that they are wrapping the food. You can see how they basically even have the name of the recipient, and you can see the magnitude in which they operate. These look like mini macros, if I can call it. Then you can see the amount. Next slide, you can go. So here you can see the monies that are in the possession of illicit miners. These are more visuals of mercury as well as how the food is packaged going underground. And you can see the seizures made en route. So these were foiled. You can see on slide 49, the amalgam that was seized, valued at over 650,000 rand. And like drug mules, what you're finding now, you can go to the next slide. Like drug mules, what you are finding now is that the illicit miners are also ingesting the amalgam concealed in condoms. And this is done for two principal reasons. One is to be able to bypass mine security, and the other one is to also prevent being robbed by opposing groups. So this is the most latest trend that was found, especially in the Gauteng Western mining areas. The following constraints will, however, continue to hinder the impact of all the efforts. Corruption within the criminal justice system, the complicity of some police officials and prosecutors undermines the efforts of the departments involved. The oversupply of illegal immigrants who take part in illegal mining activities perpetrates the scourge of illegal mining. The persistence of derelict and ownerless mines, despite the Department of Mineral Resources Rehabilitation Program. In conclusion, the DPCI, together with our key stakeholders in the National Coordination and Strategic Management Team, remain committed in tackling the illicit mining threat. Our ultimate aim remains to significantly reduce the illicit mining threat impacting South Africa and to continue to disrupt and dismantle criminal groups orchestrating illicit mining activities. Honorable Chairperson and committee members, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I just want to welcome the chair, co-chair. Co-chair, maybe if you got a few introductory remarks. You're fine.
The meeting is on.
Okay, great. General Matakata, anything that you want to add at this stage?
Thank you. No, I would wait when we have to, the presentation is being engaged.
To the secretariat, if we can have the lights on, because it's very difficult to read. I mean, we've got the hard copy handout. Of course, it's a bonus that's on the screen, but if we can have, it's difficult to read the hard copy with the current light situation. So if the secretariat can just ensure that we've got full lights on. Right, thank you very much. We will then continue with the program. We will receive now a briefing by the Department of Mineral Resources on the challenges regarding the illegal mining. Over to the DG.
Thank you very much, Honorable Co-Chairs. I am with the Chief Inspector of Mines, Mr. David Mseza, who will take Honorable Members through the presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, DG. Mr. Mseza, you're welcome.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. Good morning once again. Whilst our presentation is being put on the screen, I would also like to appreciate and commend the good work that is done by the law enforcement agencies, including the Hawks. We are collaborating very well together in terms of information sharing and where the challenging areas are. In terms of illegal mining. I think some of the milestones that we have achieved together, I think it speaks a lot, but there's still more to do moving forward. Whilst they're also putting the presentation on, I can quickly go through the presentation outline as the copies have been circulated. We'll be going through the mandate of the Department of Mineral Resources, and also just give the background on illegal mining and where we're coming from in terms of illegal mining from gold and all the way to chrome, as it has been touched previously. And we'll also touch on some of the interventions that the department has been embarking upon since then, and what are the milestones, that is the achievements that we have reached based on those interventions. And we'll also we acknowledge that there are still immense challenges, even after we've implemented these interventions. There are still immense challenges. And on number six, we'll indicate that as a result, we had a seminar earlier this year in March where we engaged with the relevant stakeholders to see what other measures we can embark upon to deal with these challenges. And then we'll conclude, Honourable Members. In terms of our mandate, we derive our mandate from the Constitution of the country, and it is found in Section 24 of the Constitution of South Africa. The legislative mandate It's mainly we through the Minerals and Petroleum Resources Development Act and the Mine Health and Safety Act. And they both provide the regulatory framework for the promotion, regulation of the industry, as well as the equitable access to and the sustainable development of the nation's mineral resources and related matters. On slide four, honorable members, we are just going through the almost a similar background that our colleagues earlier on went through, just to emphasize that illegal mining became more prominent during 2008, mainly at the Free State, where there were challenges of illegal miners going underground. There was a fire at that stage, and then we took the matter to the law enforcement agents. They worked together. We had challenges at Gauteng as well, Mpumalanga, Northwest, and also Northern Cape, as it has been indicated. There's also been illegal coal mining activities reported in Tzaneen and Giyane in Limpopo. Recently, we are seeing challenges in terms of removal of sand without authorization, and it becomes very prevalent in KZN, Eastern Cape, Limpopo, and Gauteng. And we are also experiencing significant challenges in terms of removal of chrome, mainly in the Sekhukhune and Lephalale areas in Limpopo. I'll go into detail on the challenges that we're experiencing there. The last point on that slide, it speaks to the on how do they occur. The activities is mainly on both on surface and underground. On surface is on outcrop. Outcrop is where the mineral is. You can get it on surface and it moves underground, and that's where surface mining takes place. The tailing dumps and also as well as waste dumps. And with the underground operations, it's mainly with the old derelict and ownerless mines. Some of them have been decommissioned in the 50s. And we've been having challenges regarding them, and we'll touch on what are the measures that we've been embarking upon to deal with that. My colleague has earlier on touched on the factors that are fueling illegal or the illicit mining activities, mainly as a national and international organized crime syndicate targeting the mining sector. They are targeting the old derelict and ownerless gold mines, as it has been indicated. Some of the mines that have also been liquidated, they have also been targeted, and also some operational mines that, as indicated earlier on, they are well organized and well financed as well, and quite complex and dangerous, as has been indicated. I think the main really objective here of this is self-enrichment and greed. And in terms of illegal mining. And they also use the process to further other forms of crimes. Now, the syndicate activities falls within the framework of Prevention of Organized Crime Act, POCA, as it also been touched earlier. The last bullet point, it also been touched during the presentation, is that high unemployment in some of the areas also fuel illegal mining, where communities try to make a living, especially where the mines have been, where there's been business rescue and liquidation of operating mines. The slide six is basically shows the gold mining locality. Honourable members, if you can bear with me, if you look on the bottom of that slide on the left-hand side, at the bottom, it indicates the Welkom or the Free State area. It basically shows also in colours the operating mines. I'll explain and explain them and the challenges that we're experiencing there. Now, from the bottom is the west, the Free State area. Mainly the mines, they are being operated by Harmony, as it has been indicated earlier. The challenge that we've been having with the mines is that they've been mined some time ago in the 80s by the bigger mining corporations, but then as the gold reserves came down, then they sold the shafts to smaller companies, and they are also interlinked, those shafts are there. So the challenge is that in that area, illegal mining takes place underground in operating mines. Now, moving along on the left-hand side, you'll see there in the Klerksdorp area, similarly, the Klerksdorp area, the mines there, there used to be the old gold mines run by Anglo Gold, Ashanti, and they're still operating some of the shafts. Shafts there. Now, because of the depth and the grade of the gold in that area, we don't have significant challenges underground with illegal mining. The major challenge in that area, in the Klerksdorp area, is on surface when they're scavenging for steel and also breaking down some of the plants and also some dams, processing dams. Now moving along towards the top, the Carletonville area. The Carletonville area, the mining companies that are operating there is mainly Goldfields, Harmony, and Anglo Gold in Spain as well. Now, Carletonville area, the mines there, it's what we term ultra-deep gold mines. In other words, they come to close to about 4.5. I think that's where we find the deepest mine in the world there. It's in Mponeng. It goes to 4.5. Now, the grades there, they might be also small, and that's why we don't experience a lot of illegal mining cases in those ultra-deep mines. We only experience illegal mining in the shallower mines, like Cook, which is being run by Sibanye. That's where we're working together with the police to deal with it. Now, moving towards Johannesburg, in the almost the center at the top there, and Boksburg and Niger. Gold mining in South Africa started in the Witwatersrand, especially around the Joburg area and the East Rand or Ekurhuleni area. So you'll see when you drive along the major highways in Johannesburg, there's a lot of dams around. So wherever you see the dam, there used to be an underground gold mine. Now, the challenge now is that there's huge infrastructure in those areas, including the roads, including where people stay, including factories as well, including the city itself. Some parts of the city is also undermined by gold mining. So some of the shafts have been sealed, some of them, but they have not been sealed properly. So we have challenges with that, what we call derelict and ownerless mine, especially moving from the Roodepoort area towards the Ekurhuleni area. Now, the other challenge with that area is that it's a shallow gold mine. It's where gold outcropped. In other words, it outcropped there in Johannesburg and become deeper as you go towards Carletonville and probably towards the Free State as well. So it's easy to reach gold in that area. Now, the illegal mining activities that we've been experiencing in that area is mainly, it's where people mining the outcrop itself from surface, and where they hold the concrete slabs that have been used to seal the shaft to go underground. And I'll touch on some of the challenges that we've experienced. One of them is the testing of the infrastructure on top. You'll see the roads have started to crack because they've been mining the remnant pillars. In Mpumalanga, we have been having challenges in Evander Gold Mine. Evander Gold Mines are also relatively deep, but the challenge there, it has been the mining of dams on surface. We're working together with the respective company to deal with challenge. What you don't see on the slide is Barberton. Barberton, they're also mining gold, but it's a different form of gold. It's a massive ore deposit compared to the other areas that I've shown. The other areas, it's mainly a reef, it's a very thin, and it's tabular, so it's quite different. So the challenges might be different. But what I wanted to emphasize here, honorable members, is that as we've been working together with law enforcement, the mines, the unions, the respective communities, as I've said, it started in the Free State. We've experienced that there's a changing modus operandi in terms of illegal mining. We focused at the one session in the Free State. There was some improvement. Then it moved to Barberton area. Whilst we are putting measures there, then it moved to the Gauteng area. We're continuously putting measures now. Now we are seeing some challenges in the Limpopo area that I'll touch on. The next slide, which is slide 7, honorable members, it basically shows the chrome mining locality plan. Now, if you focus almost in the middle of that slide, from where there's colors there, including the greenish in the bottom and some yellow there, it basically is what we call the Bushveld Complex. The Bushveld Complex is a geological formation that holds the platinum or the platinum group metals and chrome. Now, it moves all the way from the Rustenburg area in the northwest all the way to Limpopo in the Sekhukhune and Lephalale area. Now, Sekhukhune area, that's where we find that there's a lot of challenges with illegal chrome mining, and that's where chrome itself outcrops, and that's why we're having challenges. There's chrome all along the Bushveld Complex, but in other areas, especially the Rustenburg area, it's deeper, so you don't have that challenge. The main challenge is on the Limpopo area, because it's where the gold outcrops. In other words, it's where it's at the surface, and it's easy to to take away. We do have challenges with platinum, but this platinum is different. They don't go underground and dig the platinum. They get it at a processing stage because of the complexity that is involved with dealing with platinum. But what the challenges of the experience with platinum mines is copper theft and so forth, but not the stealing of gold underground. It's mainly at the processing plant involving collision with some of the securities there. The interventions that we've been embarking upon on slide 8, honourable members, as a department, for us, as I've indicated before, the biggest challenge has been the derelict and ownerless mines. There's a lot of them in the Gauteng area that we had to deal with them. So we have identified, for those that have been identified, we've prioritized the high-risk ones, especially because there's a lot of infrastructure and sometimes there's communities living in those areas. So we've been working together with the municipalities to rehabilitate and also to seal those shafts. Together with one of our entities called the Council of for Geoscience. Already we've overall sealed about 294 holes, and the mining companies have sealed about 103 holes. From Gauteng, Limpopo, Northwest, Mpumalanga, there's high-risk areas that we've identified that we are sealing, but there is a program that we're continuing. And those are the areas that I've indicated we've been seeing from Pinoni, Pongola in the KZN area, the Barberton, Ibanda in the Mpumalanga area, Balfour as well in Mpumalanga, Sikukuni, in Limpopo and Brits, in the Patlin, in the northwest Gauteng area. We also encourage mining companies to apply and conduct legitimate mining operations on outcrop and southcrop areas. As indicated, mainly in Gauteng, you'll actually see that the work is on outcrop area, and also in Limpopo it's on outcrop. So we encourage the legitimate mining of outcrop, of the outcrop itself through surface mining. And Clef Vale is in the Pongola area, and in Roodepoort as well, Benoni Springs, Barberton, Nigel, Beggarsfort, and Steelport, we are encouraging there. We are also encouraging small-scale mining opportunities and joint venture partnerships, because in some of the areas, for the fact that people are digging, there are opportunities, and it's viable for profitability. So we are encouraging those joint ventures. We are doing the same in Welkom, mainly with the dumps on surface and reef picking. Reef is a rock that contains gold. So when the processing takes place, sometimes they don't take out the entire gold on because of the previous technology in the reef itself. So we are encouraging that all those dams, they give other people an opportunity, especially the bigger companies, for the smaller guys to operate. Ivanda as well, it's on the dams, it's reef picking involved as well. We are encouraging that, including in Barberton, the same thing, in Balfour, and Krugersdorp Springs and Boksburg. We also facilitate toll treatment and processing of minerals. What we've identified is that the major companies, they are well set up in terms of the processing plants, all the way from the Western Limb, in other words, from the Rustenburg area to Limpopo. They have processing plants. But the smaller companies don't have, and it is costly to set up one. So we have been coordinating and facilitating for those bigger companies to help the smaller guys who want to legitimately mine the chrome itself, and also in some parts the gold, especially the processing of the plant of the dams. Sibanye is helping us, Harmony is helping us, Hennick is helping us in Rustenburg and Samanko as well in the Limpopo area is helping us. Lastly, in that slide, we encourage land use in areas affected by illegal mining activities. In other words, where we have conducted the rehabilitation and the cleanup, in other words, where we remove, cleanup is removing the dams, we encourage that there must be development of infrastructure, including housing in those areas. Why? Because previously the experience that we had is that even after we've cleaned up and removed the dams, illegal miners will go back and dig, hoping they will get sand. Sometimes they will go get the gold itself. Sometimes they'll go very deep, and the whole thing just collapse on them, and we're having challenges in terms of safety. So those areas there, Eguruleni, Mother B, Sparwater, Kingsway, Fluerhof, Hoedrand, and Matholesville. Matholesville was very in the public space at one stage in the rural area. We've done some work with developers as well. We've cleaned it up. Now they're putting infrastructure to build houses there. I think it's encouraging work that is taking place there. Other interventions on slide 9, honorable members. I think for us, we have identified the fact that as a department, we cannot do it alone. We have to collaborate with other stakeholders. Hence, we're working together with our counterparts from the other departments, including the police, the provincial government, and municipalities as well. My colleagues also touched on the first bullet point there on the provincial stakeholder for illegal mining forums, where we participate with the police, the municipalities, the unions, the mining companies. In other words, those forums, they have their own action plans on what should be done, dependent on the area, like the Free State, Gauteng, there might be differences, but similarities there, and Mpumalanga, and partly in the Northern Cape. We work together on how we can do that. We also, on the provincial level, on bullet point number two there, we're working together with our principals in the provincial government, including in Gauteng and also in Limpopo, on some of the programs that we can embark upon to help the communities and also legitimize or make the operations legal. We held in March this year a seminar. We invited all the relevant stakeholders, including civil society as well, the police, the provincial government, to say we have been implementing these measures as the department and the other law enforcement agencies. What more can we do to deal with these challenges? So I'll touch on them later on. We also have engagements with communities and civil societies. Then what is important, also with the last bullet point on that point, is where we engage with traditional leaders through the provincial government in Limpopo is we don't only talk on illegal mining, but to educate and tell people about the legislation that I've referred to, the MPRDA, the Mine Health and Safety Act, you know, the opportunities that are there that government can provide, including skills development, the issues of processing that I was also touching on, you know, on how they can form cooperatives so that we can be able to help them where possible. So we don't only focus on the criminality aspect, but how do we also encourage that they must legitimize some of these operations. The next slide, on slide 10, there's also the Barberton Business Forum there, where there's dams that have been identified by the bigger companies there, where they are willing to help communities and the relevant stakeholders there to exploit those dams in a legal way. And there's also a newly established Kukuni Small Scale Mining Association. It mainly, they are cooperatives. We're helping them to form cooperatives and to find a way how to we can assist them legally. The Steelport Illegal Mining Forum as well, we're engaging with them. And I think there's our minister and the deputy minister has also been heavily involved in that area. Matholesville has spoken to Davidsville as well. Davidsville is in the Roodepoort area. One of the biggest challenges that they had, just at the back of Davidsville, there's a huge old gold dump that is there. And during August, they used to experience a lot of dust moving there. So we are working with mining companies to find a way to find a company that should be interested in mining that dump and removing it, so that it should not affect the communities there negatively. We are also interacting with the major chrome and gold producers as well. One of the issues that we have been saying to them, because in Limpopo specifically, some of these areas where chrome is mined, there are existing mining rights by bigger companies. So we are engaging them and suggesting to them, look, if we are not going to mine it, give other people a chance to operate. So I think there's positiveness coming out from those engagements, including the gold mines as well. We are saying to them, the dams, if you're not using them and some of the shafts, give them to people. And I think there is willingness to collaborate on the others. On slide 11, it basically shows it illustrates the work that comes from the interventions themselves. That slide 11 shows the promotion of legitimate mining. On the left-hand side, the photo on the left-hand side, it shows an outcrop area that has been mined by the illegal miners. We've identified that area, and we have said to the respective companies, look, there is an opportunity here, There are three mining companies that came forward. They say they will consider to mine that area. There have been others that has been considered and permits issued by the Department of Mineral Resources, and they are working in Rodeo Port and partly in the Guruleni area. So the right hand side of that slide shows a schematic view of where those areas are. The next page as well, on slide 12, it's an area in the Guruleni. There used to be a dump there where illegal miners were digging and removing that dump. So we also assisted in terms of joint ventures to set up a plant there, as you can clearly see, and process that particular dump that was there and employing the local communities. On slide 13, it shows on the left-hand side, the photo on the left-hand side, there used to be a huge slab where the illegal miners used to crush. There was mainly women and children. And our biggest challenge at that time, it was that if you crush the rock, it has silica, you know. And if you inhale silica, you might have lung problems later on. So we've working together with some of the mines there and the municipalities, we've demolished that slab. You can see the pieces of the slab there, and then we cleaned up that area, as is seen on the right hand side there. The plan is there are houses going to be built there. That's the plan, to build houses there. Infrastructure has already been placed in that particular area. On slide 14, it shows a sinkhole. The sinkhole was caused by the shallow gold mine there, so the ground just sinked from surface. We've worked together with the respective mining companies in that area and in the Gauteng area to seal it off. So the it's in springs. The photo on the right, it basically shows how it looks like now after we've actually sealed it. Slide 15, it basically shows the employment opportunities, because for us, as I indicated, one of the biggest challenges is the fact that people are unemployed. That's why they are embarking on this. So these projects or initiatives that I've indicated, they also, you know, create jobs, including the sealing off, the rehabilitation work that is there. In Matholesville, there were 20 jobs created. So Black is 45, Salis 45, Fluor of 20, Daha Fontaine 100, and there are 300 long-term contracts on rehabilitation sites that we have identified. On slide 16, yes, there's been some positive work that came out of the interventions that we've implemented as a department and in collaboration with the stakeholders. However, the challenges are still there. We acknowledge that. One of the biggest challenges is underground ventilation disruptions occur, like in the Free State, because people, they work underground. They blast the pillars, they blast the barricades that have been used to direct ventilation, and it affects the ventilation flow underground. And sometimes there's fires, and it has significant risk on the illegal miners themselves and the mine workers. So we are working together with the respective mines to deal with it and the law enforcement. On the second bullet point, they are also blasting remnant pillars, underground and stability pillars, especially with the derelict and ownerless mines. I've indicated that it's mainly in Gauteng, Johannesburg, Rodeo Port, and the Eguruleni area. Those are shallow mines. The previous old that have been decommissioned in the 50s. If you remove those pillars, given the infrastructure is there, the houses, the factories, the roads, the ground collapses. And we've seen, I'll show you in one of the photos, where there's a crack that is formed all the way from underground. And there's also an impact on surface and mine environment degradation. My colleague touched on it as well. Health and safety, there's been also significant loss of life that we've experienced because of this, especially the illegal miners. They are affected, the mine employees as well, communities as well. Now, it's also important to indicate that we lose a lot of revenue because of the illicit activities themselves. Hence, we are working together with law enforcement agencies. There's continuous reopening of sealed shafts or openings. We seal, and it costs a lot of money to seal these shafts. you know, they tend to reopen again. The mines, they do the same, and they tend to reopen. And the legitimate mining operations are being forcefully taken over by armed illegal miners. So we've experienced that in certain areas, especially in Ekurhuleni, where they come up armed, and partly in Roodepoort as well, we've experienced that. But the police have helped us a lot. There's exploitation of women and children, theft of copper, cables and steel, unemployment due to business rescue, as I've touched on it. It also creates challenges as well. They affect illegal mining activities, affect the water. In other words, they access water illegally, including electricity, illegally. Now, slide 17, the photos that will come after slide 17 and slide 17, just is an illustration of what we're experiencing. That is a stream in the Gruleni area, because they are processing the dams there. They are working with mercury next to those dams, and it goes into the streams, and it creates challenges for us. But we are working with mining companies to clean up the place, those dams as I indicated. Slide 18 basically shows the outcrops that I referred to. On the left-hand side is in Matholesville area and Roodepoort area, where they've been digging. And you can clearly see how they're doing it. It's very, very unsafe, because they are digging beneath the high wall itself, and sometimes it collapses on them, and they tend to support by the sticks that you actually see there. It's not safe, and it got collapses. But we have worked with the companies to remove that outcrop. On the right-hand side, it's in the mountain area in Limpopo, where they are taking off the chrome from the outcrop, as I indicated. Slide 19, on the left-hand side is a slab that I referred to in the Matholesville area that we've had to break down. But the point we are making here is there is exploitation of women and children in terms of the work. And on the right-hand side is the chrome processing as well there. Slide 20 is the infrastructure being compromised, as indicated. When they remove the stabilizing pillars, the safety pillars underground, then you see those cracks. And this is in the Roodepoort area, in the dumping site there. Then we see, so what we are doing there is that we are digging and we're filling that area to stabilize it and make it safe. On slide 21, this is on the left-hand side is they are digging in someone's yard. In other words, they're taking out the chrome in someone's yard in Limpopo with a big excavator. Then you see the effects of that on the right-hand side, where the house now has to be taken down because of that challenge. I've indicated that we held a seminar in March. We invited all the relevant stakeholders, including law enforcement agencies, civil society, unions, the mining companies themselves, to say, look, we have been implementing these measures. What more can we do to improve on these challenges, that we are experiencing? So from slide 23, some of the measures that we have agreed upon. The first one is to legitimize some of the surface resource, and by issuing mining permits to small-scale miners. In other words, we've decided we must continue to identify those grounds that are viable and people can mine. So we've identified them in Springs, Benoni, Roodepoort, Florida, and Limpopo area. These areas that we have identified. Amend most of the aggregate permits to include gold ore and chrome ore. Some of the companies they do aggregate. In other words, the mineral that is being used for infrastructure, roads, and housing. So in some of them, we have said, look, you can consider amending your permit that you have to consider other minerals in those areas, and especially to do gold reef picking and so forth. So that we deal with that. So on the right-hand side, it basically indicates the areas that we've dealt with, the Nigel, Benoni, Randfontein, Beggarsfort, Steelport, with the intention to establish the small-scale miners in that area. And we are working also together with the relevant companies, Machadodorp and Breath, to offer free slag from those dams so that they can be used for construction and brick making. Thirdly, we consider economic valuation of remnants, in other words, remnant resource or reserves, and make information available to the public. That we are doing together with our state-owned entity called the Council for Geoscience. CGS. They've been doing work in Barberton. They've been doing also work in Graskop and the God's window. Lastly, on that slide, we encourage the release of assets by large companies to support small-scale operators. We've done that in the free set, the dams. Harmony, we are working together with Harmony. And Northern Cape as well, with some of the dams with DPS, and Mpumalanga, Evander area, and the Barberton area. In Limpopo, Samanco, for instance, mainly they focus underground in the mining permit area, mining right area. So we have said that if possible, the surface area, if they are not going to mine it, let them make that place available for those who want to mine. And I think there's been positive talks with them. Gauteng as well, mainly in terms of the dams, the outcrop, and northwest as well in terms of the dams, and also what we're working together with Hennig in the Brits area. The next slide, on slide 24, we think that it's very important that we also improve on the skills of the people, not only on health and safety, but also to run some of these operations. So it's one of the solutions that we have said we must embark upon. We're working together with MinTech. MinTech does great work that they've been doing in the Northern Cape, helping with pottery and the other areas that will assist the communities to sustain their livelihood. MQA, the Mining Qualification Authority, it helps with skills development as well. They are funding projects where they gave presentation in one of the forums that we had in Limpopo to assist in terms of skills development. And we also create business opportunities within the HDSA committee in SMME to supply mining industry. We facilitate agreements for toll treatment as indicated, the plants, the processing. We're working together with the mining companies to help the SMMEs because, I mean, it's very costly to start up a plant, but there is infrastructure already with the big mining companies. We're unlocking rehabilitation funds to facilitate rehabilitation. This work is done through the Council for Geoscience and MinTech in government as well. They are doing some good work for us, then sealing off the shafts and also rehabilitating some of these mines. Not only the gold mines and coal mines, but also the asbestos mines in the Northern Cape. We've identified areas which might be risky, so we are rehabilitating them as well. Lastly, on that slide, we encourage and enforce concurrent rehabilitation of mines. One of the things that has led us to this point with the directive on onerous is the previous legislation before the NPR day did not enforce that there should be concurrent rehabilitation where possible. In other words, rehabilitate as you are mining. So we have identified, we are working together with the sector. We are promoting that there should be, especially coal, sand, and the others that are referred to. Honorable members, colleagues, In conclusion, we are saying, I think for us, we'll continue to collaborate with all stakeholders, including all spheres of government, province, municipalities, the departments, law enforcement agencies, unions, mines, and so on, communities, to make sure that we deal, ultimately eradicate the challenge of illegal mining. But what is important for us is to promote legitimate mining where possible, and that we've seen it works. If the area can be mined legally, then it limits. Some of the mining companies have agreed to form cooperatives, like in Pongola area, they are doing that, and it has improved illegal mining a lot. We are looking at doing the same in Limpopo and parts of Gauteng. We'll continue to rehabilitate the derelict and onerous mines because we believe that if you don't rehabilitate, you'll have the biggest challenges. That will be the last point, honourable members and colleagues. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you very much. At this point in time, I'm going to give this to the co-chair.
Okay. Thanks very much, honourable chair, and thanks for the opportunity. I think we have listened to the presentations. Trying to whisper here, we begin to get a sense that there could be more that might be needed, and whether the two committees are enough to handle this thing. But without preempting, it's important for honorable members. I know that there are many apologies that have been made, but looking at the size of the committee, we will request that for now, each member have 3 questions, and we will gauge and then come back for the second round, so that no one will not be able to raise a question that you would love to have, or a suggestion. I always say, when we come to meetings, surely we've got ideas or suggestions to make. There must be allowed also suggestion to be made. Two committees, it means there are many minds together to try and find solutions and a way forward. On that note, I might be the only one who has got a privilege, Chair, of knowing almost every member who's here. Let alone knowing their capabilities on what to expect and not to expect. Boss, can't you exchange with Honorable Schmidt so that we can see how far the extension goes? Please. You know, I can't live without you. Yeah. I always appreciate your legal advices, even if they are wrong. So I always want to hear them. Okay? Okay, honorable members, honorable Jafta, and next to you, honorable, honorable Lorima, Jafta, Jomane, Bele, Whip, Ba. Just 3 questions. Don't worry, you'll have a second, third, and fourth bite.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. In March this year, the Sibanye Mining Company, which...
So that I don't say I know who you are and assume that everyone knows who you are. You can say so for the benefit of your colleagues in the committee.
Okay, my name is James Lorimer. I'm a member of the Portfolio Committee on Mineral Resources. In March, the Sibanye Mining Company, which is by employment anyway the largest mining company in South Africa, estimated that the loss to the state and to private companies caused by illegal mining was in the region of 20 billion rand a year. I'd like the comment of the police on that figure. I mean, do they think that's roughly correct? Second question. I was quite interested in your presentation when you focused on the illegal chrome mining and the use of women and children. I know that you were making a specific point there, but the one thing that struck me on visiting the area was the very visible number of heavy machinery that was involved in that mining. I'd like to know how much of that heavy machinery has been seized. And I'm talking particularly since the beginning of the year when I visited there. I know there have been recent arrests. I'd like an update very specifically on that, please. My third question is a much more general one. In the presentation, it talks about roughly 64 million rand in illegally mined materials being seized in 2016-17. And once again, if you measure this against the estimates of loss caused, it does seem like a very small proportion of the illegally mined materials are actually ever resulting in illegal action. Is there a realization of this? Are there plans on the part of the police to increase the number of resources? And in your answer, could you just say something about the deployment of police intelligence in all this? Thank you.
Don't worry, that's mineral resources. Thank you, Chair. My name is Mashvanz Machap, a member of the Portfolio Committee on Mineral Resources. I think, Chair, we must welcome the presentations and also appreciate the interdepartmental efforts that are in place to combat the illegal mining. But in spite of those, Chair, it seems the problem is escalating. I just want to know what do you think we need, where do you think we need maybe to improve so as to make the mentioned measures more effective to deal with the problem? The second question will be on illegal mining on chrome. You have stated clearly that the operations on chrome are on surface and usually, as we once visited the area, are done during the daylight. I just want to know what is it that makes it so difficult to combat such operations, specifically on chrome. The last question, Chair, will be directed to the department. Mr. Msiza, I have mentioned the of mineral resources this case. Mr. Msiza, I have mentioned that they have already realized the illegal removal of sand, but he didn't say what are they doing with that from the onset to combat that while it is still at its beginning. Thank you, Chair.
No, thanks, Jefferson. Jefferson, first of all, I'll start with the comment because all these things, they are actually exposing us as a country and as a nation that, in the first place, we are a nation without a mission. We don't know whether we are coming or going in this world. Hence, you will find, without making narrow politics, just a family of these Guptas even appointing ministers for us as a nation in these key strategic areas of economy. I'm making that because all of these, and as our police, whose hands are full, are actually citing the problems. Because one cannot actually then begin to suggest that police can just be a solution to all our failures, which even involve people whom the very same police cannot even arrest because they are in charge of this country, just perpetuating this very same rot of the society itself. Now, I'm touching that because this thing tells me of the sketch of anarchy that we are just getting through as a nation in South Africa. Yes, Chairperson, the Constitution gives us, that has been cited by the Department, a leverage, particularly Section 24, Subsection B, Bullet 3, secure ecological sustainable development and use of natural resources while promoting justifiable economic and social development. What I would like to know from the Department of Mineral Resources, one, have you done a kind of a quantitative figure of resources that we have as a country, and also projections as to how long these can last each category, chrome, platinum, whatever, or gold, whatever. And two, what are the initiatives the department has developed over this period of 20 years in terms of training our people for them to be able to take over this business? Because to me, I cannot actually then talk of these people, the peers in this country. We know how they actually then took our own resources to benefit their own people. That's why Europe is so better compared to Africa, even today. Because these people are just stealing our own resources here. You can go to the wars of CNCAR. All the nuclear powers, powered heavy machines of France, they steal these, or fortify their own nuclear capabilities through our own resources here in the continent. Because why? Because of our own foolishness and failures. Even here in South Africa, we've got these fools of Guptas with their own minister appointing. And what is it? Why are they appointing? Because they've got a strategic mission to say, how are they going to actually loot? Now, have you done a quantitative assessment of this? And how long? Because these things are not just, you know, when I see this thing, it's just like a carcass, you know, when a dead carcass, vultures falling in, just each vulture taking whatever piece, at the end the nation will be left empty. Have we done this assessment? Three, the training part. Is there an ongoing training? Because it's not going to help. I can hear that we are going to Russians. Russians will just come and just say we are going to do this and that. And they are a nation with a mission. They are not going to solve our problems here. We need to solve our problems here. Then lastly, I don't know, honorable chairpersons, co-chairs, whether then we cannot actually then, as this meeting, call for a kind of a session where we as South Africans, all various sectors, and even leaders, particularly those who have been placed here, can actually then deliberate further on this. So that as a nation, we can actually then come up with a strategic mission to take this thing forward. Because I am very worried, Chairperson. If it goes like this, I am telling you, I am really telling you, we will find ourselves in a point of no return. Because these things can actually fuel wars. These things can actually fuel everything that you can think of, even only if there is this kind of failure for us to actually take stock of what God gave us. I myself, I cannot actually abrogate the responsibility as a citizen of this country. Unfortunately, I don't have dual citizenship. I will die and be buried in this country. I won't even be incriminated. I'll be buried here. Because this is my soil. Now, if things are happening like this, I am sorry. There is no future. Thank you, Chairperson. I just wanted to highlight that because it angers me deeply that we can have as a government and as a nation. Because this family, that they would go to an extent of even appointing ministers, they've got a mission. Thank you.
Okay. I'm sure some issues, they require not the officials to answer, but us as people who are given the responsibility. So let me protect the officials that they must answer what is related to their performance of their job. But
thank you, Chairperson. For the benefits of the colleagues who arrived after we started, my name is Zakele Mbele, a member of the Police Portfolio Committee. And thank you to the departments and the DPCI for the presentation. Clearly a very complex challenge, as outlined, especially based on the fact that you're dealing with highly motivated syndicates. There's lots of money to be made in this activity. They're clearly well-resourced and very cunning, which is complicated by the facts of collusion in the whole value chain. So I guess the first question that comes to mind in addressing this very complex and ever morphing and very concrete challenge is whether there is sufficient capacity and skills across all the stakeholders to meaningfully tackle and neutralize and ultimately reduce this phenomenon. And I'm asking it in those particular terms, in terms of reducing and neutralizing it, as opposed to merely disrupting and displacing it. There was mention that the trends have been shifting over the years. When an operation shuts down a syndicate in a particular area or province, it then displaces to another arena within minerals or another province. So actually dealing with the core of the issue to really dismantle and neutralize it. And then to echo the Honorable Lorimer, around capacity and skills, in particular, is the SAP's criminal intelligence up to scratch? I know they're not here to speak for themselves in terms of that division, but from the experience of the DPCI and the minerals department, the interaction with criminal intelligence, are they up to scratch? Because they've been long-standing and recently escalating concerns about that environment, especially in terms of quality and competence of leadership, interference in the running and the leadership of criminal intelligence. I was quite surprised, Chair, to read yesterday that there's been the acting appointments at the head of the CI, when just the day before, General Motiba had confirmed to our committee that he would directly oversee criminal intelligence or crime intelligence. So one wonders if there was some sort of political interference in that regard. And more broadly, to then link to what Honorable Mhlongo was saying, is one has to wonder if there might not be vested personal, financial, or material interests amongst some in the corporates and political elites in this illicit economy. And that's why there's interference being run to actually tackle it effectively. But skills and capacity, do we have enough? Just very, very simply put. My second question, Chair, relates to the point that there hasn't been a glowing track record of multi-agency teams and bodies within governments. The police committee will be familiar with the challenge in terms of the border environment, especially when we went to Mpumalanga and the border post there, and the Free States, actually. The BCCOC, which is that multi-agency body dealing with the border environment, is not doing especially well. There's things fall through cracks. There's big gaps. There's a disjuncture between coordination and cooperation between all the bodies. So the question that leads me to is that if illegal mining is an identified national priority, as was mentioned at the beginning, has the feasibility and desirability of a specialized unit to address this threat been explored? So instead of this multi-tentacled, very difficult to coordinate octopus trying to get a grip on the threat, just having a dedicated, specialized unit with the skills, manpower, and resourcing to deal with it in a much more focused way. If that feasibility assessment has been done, what was the outcome? And if not, why not? Why haven't we looked at that particular approach as an option to tackle it? And then my third question, Chair, focuses on the issue of collusion. which is, I think, probably the most difficult part of all of this, because it means that the risk is multifaceted and much more difficult to get a hold of, because there's so many players. I mean, there was mention of collusion by police officers, and I was glad to share that there has been an operation focusing on that in particular. Obviously, community members as part of the supply supply chains and working in the mines. I mean, cash and transit companies, I was really shocked to see that in the presentation, if they're parts of the transporting networks. Licensed operators in precious metals, mine demolition companies, mining company employees, that really just gives some texture and depth to the complexity. But the one aspect that hasn't been mentioned in the presentation around the collusion aspect, seeing that there's a very organized approach to getting food supplies to the Zamazamas, as they're called, is the food retailers. Has there been any detection of collusion by the food retailers, especially at a localized level? Because I would imagine, from SARS perspective, for example, they would be able to detect unusual spikes in reported revenue by a particular food retailer in an area that's known to have illegal mining or reported to do so, and in that way have a lead for investigations. And then links to that, Chairperson, is that the mention of the illegal mining gangs being heavily armed. Has there been detection by SAPS of the use of state-owned, especially police firearms, when they seize those, if they're able to seize those firearms? So in other words, I'm asking if there's a link between firearms that start off being legal in the states, either police or the army or wherever, and they end up in the hands of these illegal mining gangs, and also firearms that had been handed in for destruction during firearm amnesties. We know that's been a big gap around the whole Colonel Prinsloo issue. So is there a link, a detected link, between stolen state firearms, but also the food retailers aspects is key, if I can get some clarity on that. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. I'll say what I'm going to say when you have all finished.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Angie Muliwazi. I'm with the police portfolio. My first question to DPCI. You said this when you were speaking about the 48 hours, you made mention of when a suspect after 48 hours is not coming forward to identify the confiscated metals, the suspect will be released. I'm interested in knowing what happens after this release. My second one to Minerals Resources is, at what point do you realize that a particular mine, unused mine, is actually used? My third one is also